Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
I know some people in here, you have a good, strong relationship with God. And for you, it's not hard to feel an embrace from Him. But some of you have never felt that. So many of you just relax. It's not about you. What kind of day you had, or if you're worthy or not, none of us are. But your Father loves you. And I saw His arms pulling you in with an embrace. And I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and let Him hold you. Let your glory come upon your people. Let your love emanate into them that they know they're accepted in the Beloved. No more questioning, am I good enough? No more worrying so much about if you did right or did wrong. But rather, learning to receive the love that He has for you. God wants you to know His love for you more than sound doctrine, even though sound doctrine is important. But you know, everything in the kingdom works by love. And I used to think that meant by my loving others, but I found that I can't really love others until I really know His love for me. And once I know His love for me, I can step into who I am, which is nobody but somebody in Him. I don't have any identity that's worthwhile or greater. I've never done anything right, you know. Never deserved His love, but as God has taught me His undeserved love, the love that He has for every one of us because we're His, not because of anything we did or anything we didn't do, it's He loves us because we're His kids. He loves without reason. He loves because that's who He is. And I feel like God wants us to come in and stand in that place, to so know His love that Satan can't tear you out of it, that Satan can't steal from you the knowing God loves me no matter what kind of day I'm having. God loves me. And then that, once you get who you really are, knowing His love for you helps you know who you are in Him and who He is in you. And that's where faith comes from. Faith for miracles, faith for finances, faith for answered prayer, faith for being able to be used of God. That all comes out of coming into who you really are, who you were born to be. And the problem we have with this is because we were born after the fall, we were born into Adam's family. And so love had been broken, it had been distorted. And if you were good, you know, fortunate enough to have parents who loved you, some people had parents who weren't very loving. And some people had parents who did their best at loving, but because it was a broken system, even our parents don't always know how to love. We humans, we're not very good at it because we don't understand. God's love is so different, so radically different from human love, that we have a hard time recognizing it. But when we see it, and we say, that is different than any love I've ever seen. It's completely different than human love. And if you see it in manifestation, it's stunning. But God wants us to get to a place where we not only recognize it, but can walk in it, step into it, and accept it. Some of you have rejected the love of God. You love him with all your heart, but you have let his love bounce off of you because you don't think you're worth it. And those are called filters. And I learned, I've used the word filters for years, but I never knew that the psychiatrists actually use that word. That's an actual word of science now. And it's actually a way that your brain believes I'll call it a truth, but it could be a complete lie, but your brain can accept something as truth and filter everything out based on those lies or those truths. So your brain begins to filter out things that God is trying to get you to receive. And even though when I got saved, I loved God with all my heart, I knew I was a mess. I knew there was nothing lovely about me. I had so many problems. I really needed deliverance. I needed healing. I was a mess. But God kept telling me, the one thing I had, I did have a relationship with him, and I could hear him. And every time he spoke to me, I'm talking about for 2 years, every word he said to me, every command he gave me, everything he talked to me about would start with, I love you, now go do this. I love you, I want you to read Philippians. I love you, study that. I love you, go downtown. And the reason he was doing that is I had no framework for being loved. I had no framework for this perfect, amazing, majestic God loving me. Why would he love me? Why would he love one of us? We're a mess. And yet he loves us so much that he would die in our place. He loves us so much. And that doesn't change as life is very fluid. We have days where we think, I did pretty good today, and then we have days where I didn't do as good today, Maybe we were under attack, or maybe somebody said something that set us off and we didn't respond in a godly way. Do you know that the Bible says that God is without variableness or shadow of turning? And the way we could look at that is if there is a lamp and it never moves and has the brightest light and it's constantly shining in one spot, it doesn't move. There's no shadow of turning, right? No variableness. It doesn't change. It's always on, always on. And we move in or out of it based on our judgment of ourself, right? Or could be backslid, could be chasing other things, right? But I know none of you do that. And so God is trying to get us to understand how the system worked before it was broken, how the family functioned before it was broken. And so to do that, we have to go back to Eden to understand how he made us. Before we were broken, before Adam and Eve sinned, they walked in perfect love, and we know that because they were made in his image. And what does God say he is? He is love. So they were made in the image of perfect love. They loved each other. They loved him. There was no stain, no spot, no break in the relationship. So when God showed up in the garden in the cool of the day, there was this 100% fellowship. There was no, did you ever have where you feel like you want to talk to God, but you kind of feel bad about yourself today? Did you ever have that? Some people have it a lot more than other people because some people have been more delivered. Some people are able to walk more in truth. But every day and many times a day, we're given an open door to fellowship with him. If we could say it this way, to crawl up in his lap, to put our arms around his neck, to lay at his feet and worship. And he loves all of it. God is very mushy. And he loves his children. And when that lamp, let's imagine that that bright light that never moves is always on, let's imagine that is a continual outpouring of his love. Here's what happens. Let's say that that lamp is shining right on this spot right here. And when I'm feeling better about myself, I'm not so afraid to come and be in his love. But if I feel like, oh, I did wrong, or, oh, I think I said the wrong thing, I might be like, oh, I don't think God wants to be with me. Well, his love has not moved. I moved. And God is beckoning us to grow in faith. Faith is believing what God has said when it absolutely doesn't feel like it or look like it. Not just about this, but about everything. And I'm going to make a statement that in this day and over this next year and the next couple of years, what will determine our victory or our failure is how quickly we are able to shun the lies of the devil and the lies of our own emotions, which are going to be screaming at us, right? Your emotions are going to scream things at you. But you know what? You can instantly have a victory if you can go, wait a minute, the word says this thing. I'm going to choose to believe the word. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I've had battles. For some reason, at night, a lot of times battles come. And which is pretty funny for me because I'm a really sound sleeper. But there are times when I have to get up and contend to win, right? And when a battle is fierce, our emotions want to cave. They want to go, oh my God, you know, oh, what's going to happen? This looks bad. But the word is, it never changes. It is 100% true 24 hours a day in earth and in heaven. And what we have to do is say, wait a minute, no, the word says thus and so. I had about three or four attacks last night, not sure why. They were pretty fierce. And they were like three or four different things. And some of them were physical, and a couple of them were a little scary. But, you know, God is so good. And by the Spirit, sometimes he'll give you a way to go in the Spirit. And when he does, don't shun it and pick your emotions, which want to freak out. Right? When he does it, which it'll be a still small voice, or it may be an idea that bubbles up. But I had this idea that bubbled up. I'll just tell you, one attack was against something with my feet. And it's gone off and on for a while, and I'm standing for perfect healing. But this was a little bit, you know, more intense. And the devil starts saying, well, you know, it's this and it's this. And, you know, he always has, it's the dreaded, you know, mungus, and you're all going to die. You know, that's what he does, right? But deep down, my father said, wrap your feet in the scripture. And I was thinking about Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, to me, there's so much life in it because it's what he purchased for us. And if you really study Isaiah 53, he purchased your salvation, the forgiveness of sins. He purchased that you don't have to have grief or sorrow. Did you know that? He carried that for you. It says that he took our infirmities and carried. This is the literal translation. If you literally translate the words, he carried our diseases far away from us, along with our depravity, perversity, and crimes. But he carried our diseases. Now, I studied Isaiah 53 long enough to know that is true. And God said, wrap your feet in it. So I was, you know, when you're kind of asleep, you're a little, you know, and I thought, I'm doing that. And I don't even think I spoke it. I just wrapped my feet in Isaiah 53, specifically in the part that says he carried our diseases far from us, and whoosh, they were better. So then I started wrapping up. Now, that's not a program I'm telling you to follow. What I am telling you, though, is when there's an attack of fear, whether it's about finance or whatever, relationship, or do you ever have, here's one that I really hate, you talk to somebody and you say the wrong thing, or maybe they didn't even notice it, but you go away and for 3 hours you're like, oh man, I didn't handle that the best way. You're like, you got a hammer and you're beating yourself up because you didn't do it right. wasn't a great witness. Oh, I should have, you know, and the Lord's like, okay, well, you let it go. They didn't even notice, you know, right? We have to get quicker about choosing to believe the Word of God, because God is never moved. And here's a statement: His love for you is never moved. He knew when He saved you and me that we were not perfect, that we were going to take a journey, and that journey was going to go like this. We're heading for Him, but, you know, we're doing our best, right? Yeah, right. And we're doing our best to come to Him. We make mistakes. We zig when we should have zagged. But when our heart, holiness isn't that you just, oh, I screwed up, so I just quit. No, holiness is He is a holy and perfect God. He is more important to me than anything in the world, and I'm going to keep seeking Him until I can get it right. Right? I'm going to keep seeking Him until I can become whole, until I can become holy, until I can manifest. Now, in the Spirit, He has made me holy, but my flesh needs a little work, doesn't it? And so God wants us to live this life of accepting and walking in His love while we are being changed. Isn't that amazing? And if you can get a hold of it, even if you, here's a real relationship. Some of you have never been close to the Holy Spirit. And I got to tell you, I wouldn't be alive today if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost. When I was younger, I didn't understand Him. I heard Him called it, you know, and I just thought it was some, you know, some presence that came in a room. I had no understanding. And then I read a book at one of the lowest points of my life. God put a book in my hands. And in this book, the brother talked about a relationship of knowing the Holy Spirit. And I had never realized it. And I was like, Holy Ghost, I am so sorry. I realized You're the one that saved my life. Every day when I was going through it, You're the one that gave me hope. You're the one that would give me a vision. You're the one that gave me scriptures. You're the one all this time walking me through it. And I didn't even realize how great You are. And I began to fall in love with the Holy Spirit, and I began to spend quality time with Him as my best and closest friend. You know, when somebody saves your life, they become very dear to you. When someone saves your life, you never forget it as long as you live. You'll spend your life wanting to be around them, loving on them. Well, I love, Jesus is, the Holy Spirit is Jesus in spirit form, okay? So it's not like there's some competition. They are one. They're one and the same. But Jesus, where's He? He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Where's the Father? He's seated in the throne. But the Holy Spirit is here with you, hopefully in you. Hopefully you're filled with Him. So you have with you, don't ever say you feel lonely. If you feel lonely, you don't know Him. You don't know Him well enough. I don't think I could get lonely if I tried, because I'm never alone. Do I look like I'm talking to myself sometimes? Sure. But I'm talking to someone you just can't see and getting pretty good answers. You can develop a relationship with the Spirit of God who will lead and guide you. I'm just going to tell you, there are people in the earth who have a counterfeit of this, where they seek other spirits to guide them, but those spirits are not holy. They're unholy. They're actually demon gods, right? But the people who do it will try to make it look attractive and get you sucked in, but be very careful that the Holy Spirit is the one that you love. And how you know it's Him is He will always, everything He does will line up with the sense of God's Word. It'll either directly be a scripture or it will go along with scripture. He will never tell you to do something that is unholy according to scripture. He just won't, because He wrote it. It's His book. He inspired the Word of God. So that's how you know the Word is the plumb line. So the Holy Spirit, the greatest thing about Him is, for me, He loves you in a way that you can sense and feel when His presence comes. Sometimes when you're just, you know, He's called the Comforter. Sometimes when, if you ever just had to have a good, you know, your heart felt broken and you just had to have a cry, or if you're a guy, maybe you just had to tough it out. But if you can ever make friends with the Holy Spirit, You can just go lay down on your bed and say, Holy Spirit, will you help me? And he will either walk you through it or he'll help you pray through it. Sometimes I'll get this thing called travail. And it's like a weeping, but it's like it's not me weeping. It's like it's the Spirit of God weeping in prayer. And I weep until it's done. And then whew, the thing is resolved. Not only in the natural is the situation resolved, but I'm released from that burden. Only the Holy Ghost can do that. Amen? The Holy Spirit can cause us to walk in the love of God. And by that, again, I do mean you'll love other people, but the most important thing at first is walking in the love God has for you, being able to receive it 24/7. So, and you know why that's important? So you won't run from God. You won't run away saying, I don't think God wants to be with me. Yeah, he does, all the time. God wants to be with you. God's favorite place for you is in his arms. God's favorite place, you know what he wants from you more than your good works, more than your strong doctrine, more than you operating in your gifting. We tend to have this thing, especially American Christians, we think it's all about how much we're used, right? But, you know, God can use a rock. He doesn't need us. He doesn't. He can do anything he wants anytime he wants. God is so able. What he wants, though, is someone that is in love with him and can be loved by him, because that's when you can become one, right? There's actually a place in God where you can step into him, and in that place, he begins to speak through you, and you're used more than ever, but it's not because you're so bright or you're so smart or even you prayed so much. It's because you found a place where God can flow through you. And it's a place where you know his love for you and you know his acceptance, even if you're being kind of a schmuck. So I'll give you a great example. Let's say you blow it and you go to the Holy Spirit. What I used to do is I'd run away from God. If I blew it, I'd run away and I'd hide. And I'd feel terrible. And I'd beat myself up for 3 days, always three. And one day God said to me, he said, Holly, you know what you're doing? He said, you're going to beat yourself up until you feel bad enough for long enough. And then you're going to come in, you're going to say, oh God, won't you forgive me? He said, I forgive you now. He said, if you stay out, I can't help you. I can't help you when you're outside my presence beating yourself up. That's like, why don't you just go lay on a bed of nails? You know? Go, you know, I really want to say something. Go repeat this prayer 14 times. That'll fix it. No. What fixes it is when you say, okay, Lord, I admit it, I'm kind of a jerk, I blew it, but the door of heaven didn't slam shut, did it? No, the veil that was torn can never be put back together again. That door can never be shut. So no matter what you feel like, even if you want to go beat yourself up, that is a lying spirit and you are believing lies. And God is saying, come in and sit at my feet. Come in and crawl up on my lap. Yeah, I know you got a little mud on your face, but I want to forgive you right now. Let's not waste 3 days. That's Satan's trick. Satan's trick, he can't take your salvation, can he? Only if you renounced it. He can't take away what you have. All he can do is try to hinder you by taking your time. By stealing a year here and a year there, if I can get them condemned, if I can get them to backslide, if I could get them to walk away from God or be too afraid of God because they blew it or they're beating themselves up or they feel not worthy, they'll stay out of his presence. He can just hinder them, hinder. And 48 years later, you walk into a service and you realize God loved you all that time.
Right.
And God is like, don't waste time. Come now. Come in. My forgiveness, the blood was already shed. I'm not going to do it again. The blood was already shed for you. Come in, confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive them. And then while you're in there, he says, okay, now I'm going to, what does it say? He forgives you your sins and cleanses you from the unrighteousness. So now you get forgiven and he can help you and he can say, honey, you know why you did that? Because you have a problem with blah, blah, blah. You're right. Now he can pull the splinter out that made me act badly, or whatever the deal was. I can be a little bit set free. I didn't have to waste 3 days, and oh wait, maybe I got free. But most of all, the best part is I didn't have to fall out of relationship because I was measuring myself all the time. That's a stinking system, measuring yourself. We aren't even good at it because we don't measure ourselves according to God's standard, because we don't even understand his standard, right? We don't even understand what the Most Holy is looking at when he looks at us. We think he's looking at our do's and don'ts, and we think that because we've read the Old Covenant. We don't understand that what he's looking at is who you are on the inside, which is a new creation made in the image of God. Like, oh wait, who? Adam? Made in the image of God, walking in the love of God. So you can see it in the very fall. Adam and Eve, immediately once they fall, it's corrupt. Now they start measuring themselves. We screwed up. We can't face God. Did he go away? No, he's still walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Did he reject them? Did you think he didn't know what they did? Yeah, I assure you, he already knew what they did. But he's still looking for them. He's still looking to solve it. He's still looking to love on them, and he still loves them. He's got to come up with a solution for their screw-up, but his love did not change. And neither does it for us. And if you can get this, this is a matter of faith. And if you can get this, you can walk in the Holy Spirit 24/7. And so I started to tell you, if you really mess up, you know, you'd go, instead of running away from God, you run to the Holy Ghost and say, oh, Holy Ghost, help me. First, help me not screw up. Second of all, help me to give me truth. Let me be forgiven. But also, why did I do that? Why do I have that problem? I've seen that before. What is that? You know, he can comfort us, heal us, cleanse us, deliver us, and let us walk in the, believe it or not, in the fullness of God when we know we're not worthy. Because see, Jesus didn't die for a people who were worthy. He didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He didn't die for righteous people who were so worthy. But what we do is we get saved and we become the righteousness of God in Christ, and then we spend the rest of our life measuring, 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 judging, judging, judging. We measure ourselves, we measure each other, we measure the church, we measure the pastor. We all have an opinion. You know, critical, harsh. I'm guilty, I've done it. And you know what I say? Shut up, Holly. Who died and made you God, right? It's a stinking attitude. Only God really understands. God understands why they did what they did. I could give you lots of examples. I'll give you one. I had some people that knew everything about everything. They were, hallelujah, very anointed, but not really. And they were complaining about a place, and the place had, it was an amazing place that had this huge revival, actually. But only people with badges could pray for you. That really bugged them. They said, well, that's control. I said, okay, let me give you another perspective. I said, my friends, a pastor and his wife in Texas, they had a man come, an anointed man of God. He's up at the altar. Pastor's wife is a sweet little thing. She goes up for prayer. This is at the end of the meeting. He prays for her, and she has this, wow. She's just standing in the presence. And someone comes along behind her, or behind the guy, touches her, and her eyes are shut, so she doesn't see it coming. This woman touches her forehead and says, you're dead. And it was a witch, and nobody saw it, so nobody stopped her, and she didn't have her eyes open, so she didn't see it. She got sick. We went down there, and she had some kind of bacterial thing. The doctors couldn't find it, couldn't fix it. No medicine they had fixed it. You know why? Because it was witchcraft. It wasn't sickness. There was a difference. And so I'm sitting with her listening to her. I said, that's witchcraft right there. That's not sickness. You're not sick. Well, her husband was a Word of Faith guy, which I love Word of Faith, but he was like, you know, you're healed, you're healed, you're healed, you're healed. He's confessing, but he didn't know to deal with this. So we just came in agreement. I said, I break every word or curse that was spoken over you in the name of Jesus. Because who has higher authority? We do. But she didn't know about it. He didn't know about it. She was sick for a long time. She got instantly, permanently, completely healed. My point is this. Somebody who's running a church, and you got this place that we're talking about had thousands of people. One night you might have 2,000 people. It was a huge place. It was in a warehouse, huge. So they only wanted people they knew. It's not that other people couldn't pray. It's not that other people weren't anointed. We were there. Edgar was there. Did he have a badge? No. Should he have been praying for people? No. And should we have respected their right to say, we only want people we know because we don't want some creep laying hands on you, understand? So my point is this. They were judging something based on only half the information. And once I said that, they went, oh. See how sometimes we are critical and we don't always know. I don't know how we got there. But we need to be careful. You know, we should really judge kind of nothing unless the Lord gives us his opinion. And even then, we have to walk circumspectly, right? And I'm not saying I'm great at this, but I'm working on it. I'm working on not having an attitude. I'm working on not being critical and judgmental. Because only God really knows. Paul said, I don't even judge myself. Paul, the Apostle Paul said, I don't even judge myself. Right? So we have to take care only to judge righteous judgment, the Bible says. So I got way off there. But I feel like the Lord wants each and every one of his children, everything you ever do in God that counts will be based on and birthed out of relationship. Not good works, not knowledge, not great doctrine, not being a know-it-all, not your wonderful gifting that you were probably born with. Those things are good. He gave them to you, but everything was intended to come out of oneness with him. And you know what's important about oneness? Oneness is why Jesus told us to come as a child, just like you. A child who doesn't think they know stuff. They just come crawling up. When he's at home, wouldn't he just crawl right up in your lap? He wouldn't say, oh, I'm not worthy. He'd say, feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me. Right? And that's how God wants us. He wants us to be that way. You might be shocked to hear this, but God is actually pleased with you. Now, is there things he might correct? Yeah, sure. Probably all the time. But that doesn't change how much he loves you. And so if you're looking to be used or if you're called, there's people in here that have a great calling. And I remember trying to make it happen. If I pray enough, if I fast enough, you know, I fell in love with revival and I was in my 20s. I heard about Finney and I was undone forever. I've never recovered. When I found out the power of somebody that could carry the presence and what it did to people, I was wrecked. I'm still wrecked over it. And I began to pray and fast and fast and pray and fast. All those prayer meetings we have were birthed out of a knowledge because Finney didn't just go do it. He would travail with two of his friends for hours and days on the floor travail. And then what would happen is hundreds and sometimes thousands of souls would come into the kingdom because something in them broke as those guys prayed. And when I heard about that, when I heard about how the power of God, he said he went to one town, and when he first showed up, everybody hated him because it was a rough town. They were real rough. I don't know, remember if it was a mining town, but, you know, they had this bar, and they'd, like, cussed him out, and they were real mean, but he just went to prayer. And he had this gift from God where he knew he could go into the Holy Ghost and go deep and travail. And he didn't even believe in speaking in tongues, but he knew how to travail. And you can't do it, you can't make it happen, but when you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, he gets to pray through you. And what is he doing? He's birthing something into the earth through your body. Right? You're like, huh? Yeah. Prayer is where it all happens because prayer should not be one way. Prayer is a two-way communication where your heaven is meeting earth. And in some way, in prayer, you've become one, and God is birthing something through you. See, he's trying to get something into the earth. And everybody's called to different things, but Finney was called to souls. And he had a couple of men that prayed with him. And the two men went to Denver. I know some of you heard this story, but guess what? You're going to hear it again. And the two men went, in the olden days, the only hotel was above the saloon. And when Finney got there, the lady that owned it said, Brother Finney, there's something wrong with those men. They're very sick. I've put food outside the door. I hear these terrible groans. you know, I've tried to open the door. It's like they're really sick. I don't know what to do. He said, oh, they're not sick. They're just praying. They were in travail. What does it say in Romans 8? When we know not what to pray for as we ought, the Spirit of God himself makes intercession through us with groanings that can't be understood. Now, only he can do it, but he won't do it unless you've yielded yourself continually into him. So these two men have been at it 2 days. Finney goes in, and he gets in it. And after about a day, they hear a great noise in the street. They were on the second floor. There was a balcony. Like people yelling. And they go and they look out, and people are out in the street saying, I need God, I need God, I need God. And he said, they're not ready yet. And he went back. And they travailed until he felt that release. And thousands and thousands and thousands of people got born again in that city. And it was like that everywhere he went. And if that doesn't light your fire, I'm just not sure what will. God is looking for some way to make way into the earth again. Now, here's what I learned over 40 years of trying to do it. I learned that everybody's calling is different, and how the Spirit of God will manifest through you may look different than how it will manifest through me or Finney or Billy Graham or Reinhard Bonnke. But as you go into God and become one with him, there's something that happens. There's an interchange, a birthing, where God is trying to release something into the earth that's greater, that's more, it's heavenly. But he has to have a human because he's given the earth to man, the Bible says. Psalm 115, he gave the earth to man. So how does he get access to do something he wants on the earth? He has to find a man or a woman who's willing to yield to the Spirit of God and become in relationship with him. So that's why we started with love. You can't do this unless you know your Father loves you and he accepts you. And your real identity is not all that stuff people told you. People measure each other from little bitty. People tell their kids, you're smart, you're dumb, you're this, you're that, you're slow in school, you're great in school. And we form, when we're little, we form these ideas of who we think we are based on what humans told us. And some of that can be good. I'm thankful my parents were, you know, pretty positive, so I was pretty confident. But when I got into God, I found out that's not who I am at all. That has nothing to do with who Holly is. I didn't know who Holly was. Preaching for years, still didn't know who I was. But God began to reveal a different identity from heaven. Your identity has been locked in heaven. When you got born again, your true identity came into your body if you're born again. But guess what? Until you spend time in God in prayer, that identity is still dormant and uncovered. So you can see how important it is to walk in the Spirit, to spend time in relationship, because you'll never get it in the flesh. You'll never get it by being smart enough. No human is smart enough. You know what? There's no one on planet Earth, I don't care if you're a genius, there isn't a carnal mind that can grasp what God has done in heaven. You have an identity that if we saw it manifest, we'd all be like, because, well, C.S. Lewis said it really well. He said, every person you know will one day either be a creature so terrifying that if you saw it, you'd be tempted to run, or a creature so glorious you'd be tempted to bow down and worship. Every person you know. Why is that not manifest now? Why do we not see more light in one another? Why do we not see more fire yet? God wants it. It's yours. It's already yours. Believe it or not, you already have it in your spirit, man. God's trying to woo us to come into him in relationship. Is this making any sense? And the reason is he loves you, and as much as you would like to be used of God, he wants it more. But he wants to do it his way. He won't have you do it for him. That's not what he wants. He doesn't want somebody that can do it for him. He wants someone that's so close to him and so humble before him that he can do it through them and they will never take the credit. That's what he wants. somebody that can be just, oh, we're doing this, okay, I don't know how, but okay, you know. And then he does something and you go, hey, that was pretty cool to see what God did, right? That's what he desires is children. And that's why he wants us to come as children who crawl up in his lap and say, what are we doing today? Because he really, what he's after more than all the other stuff, all the do's and don'ts. And I know the Bible's got a lot of do's and don'ts, but you'll do them better out of relationship. You will do the do's and you won't do the don'ts, but you'll do that much, much better when you're in his lap than standing here saying, oh, Father in heaven, I call thy grace upon me, hallelujah. You know, it just doesn't work. But when you join with him, it's no more I, it's we. We are going to the store. We are going to get something for dinner. We are going to talk to people. You may not say it, but that's the feeling. You're one with someone who knows everything. You don't have to be smart anymore. What a relief. What a relief. What a relief it is to be able to just be a kid that isn't always going to get everything right. God loves you. He loves you. And I'm asking you to go and explore just having relationship with your Father, with the Holy Spirit. Just hang out. Just because. Because he's the coolest person you'll ever know. You don't know anybody as cool as God. You don't know anybody as fun as God. As fun, funny. He's fun and funny, but he doesn't show that when you don't have a relationship. He invented your sense of humor. A friend of mine got filled with the Holy Ghost driving in her truck, and she was just overtaken by the Holy Ghost, and she got home, and it was late at night. She's a farmer. She went in the house, and she couldn't stop praying in tongues way into the night, and God said, you think I don't have a sense of humor? He said, I invented the duck-bill platypus. And she said, you just roar with laughter. God is very funny. And he's fun. He's smart. He's so dear when he corrects. I love when God corrects me because I want to get it right. It's not that I believe less that we should live right, but I found that this is the easy way to do it. When you're in him, you don't screw up so much. When you're being led by the Spirit or hanging out with him, for one thing, you just don't want to. And for another thing, the more you're in him, the more his personality starts to flow. Amen. Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from spiritofgodworldwide.com.